Good morning, church. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. Please stand with me as we come together and worship through song. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. When He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. From the rising to the setting sun, His love endures forever. And by the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. God is strong, forever God is with us, forever, forever. Please be seated.
We never intended to plant a church. We are Christians. We needed to have devotion with our kids, Bible study with our kids. So started Bible study here. And I think we probably are not realizing what's going on.
We had one parent showed up. He was just passing by. We were in the middle of doing Bible study with our kids. Oh, you guys have been Bible study? Then he totally spread the word, and families started to come in and show up. And say, if we are bringing the kids to Bible study, why don't we have church for everybody? I guess they saw something that they couldn't find in our area.
That's how we ended up planting a Haitian church right here in Philadelphia. It was designed with kids in mind.
My name is Keisha Renee, and I'm 16 years old. When God picks somebody to do a job, He doesn't go off of the age that you are. You have to be willing to just do whatever God needs you to do. And I just felt like I had a job to do.
There are kids standing, leading the service. They are integrated. They are part of everything that we do. And families come because of what the Lord is doing. Raising generations of children, of people, of servants, and God is at work. But it started with that burden of seeing something different. So not even a year ago did we think that we were ever going to be in such a circumstance. But we would rather do nothing else but this. This is it. This is what transpires for in eternity.
here, both in person or online. You all woke up this morning. Might have been a struggle. We'd like to invite you to Sunday school. So if you weren't here at 9 o'clock because you thought it was a different time this morning, that's okay. Next week, you have a chance to try again. So we have classes for everybody. So just show up at 9 o'clock and we'll point you in the right direction. Invite your friends. There's choir practice today after church for the Mercy Tree for the Resurrection Sunday Cantata. So if you want to sing, show up there. Or if you've been coming to practice, don't forget. Tomorrow, on Monday, at 6:30 in the chapel, they're doing Savior Stretch again. So if you just want to get moving, show up at the chapel and enjoy that. Wednesday, prayer and share at 6:30. And then if you see these little envelopes around, they look kind of cool. They've got a fancy pattern and some colors. They're for the Annie Armstrong offering, Easter offering. So put your money in there, drop them in the box. We'd appreciate it. And then if Robert Corton wants to come up, he's going to lead us in prayer.
It sure is great to be here today, Lord, and see you people sitting out there. That's a praise to my name. Thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to gather here today and saying praises to your name, Lord, and to hear your word that you have laid on Brother Cliff's heart to bring to us. And Lord, you know us. You know that we need the message. Just thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. And thank you, Lord, for your servant, your Savior that died for our sins. I just pray now that we go ahead and have a good week and that we can be a minister to you and be a servant of you. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
There are so many that don't know Jesus in the city of Boston. I lead the Beloved Initiative, which is an anti-trafficking and sexual abuse awareness campaign. My ministry right now looks like reaching our refugee friends and their families, our homeless friends, and also women who are experiencing exploitation. There are so many parts to the equation. We look for, you know, creative ways to, you know, meet needs. I'm really passionate about gifting essential products, but it's the importance of leaving the pews and going out and being the light and love of Jesus. We have volunteers within our churches. We're creating, you know, earrings and bracelets to then use those for our street outreach. We can just bless women that are in the strip clubs or on the street. And the goal is just really that the loss will be reached with the love of Christ. When people give to the Annie Armstrong offering, individuals are receiving Christ and realizing their beloved identities as beloved sons and daughters. Your generous support is going towards so many individuals who do not have a relationship with Jesus, helping them realize that they are loved and loved by Christ.
Before I ask you to stand up, I do want to share a short story, but my stories never are very short. I know last week I lost my voice because of, you know, it's great getting allergies, not until you're in your late 30s and then you start finding out what you're allergic to. But I really, really appreciated these girls leading us through worship with their voices and the gifts that God's blessed them with. And that takes me, so last week I had a lot of people ask me if I got a new guitar. No, I did not get a new guitar. Richard and Gail came to me and asked if I would be willing to play their son-in-law Kevin's guitar. Him and Heather had quite the collection, and I didn't ever have the opportunity to get to meet Kevin. He passed away, sadly, while we had just started here, and he had quite the collection of instruments from what I've been told, and he's a very gifted musician. And they asked if I would be willing in his honor to play his guitar, and I was like, I'd be more than happy to. And of course, when you get out a guitar that has been sitting in its case for several years, you don't know what you're going to be getting yourself into. You don't know if the string's going to be rusted, if it's just going to be covered in dust, even though it's been in a case, all these different things. And the vessel that him and Heather had always been was just to share God's love with everyone they got to know. And I really wish I would have had the opportunity to get to meet Kevin. But it just reminded me so much, especially as we watch these Annie Armstrong videos, and you see these people that are just being a vessel, just allowing God to work through them, to be that megaphone, to be that quiet voice, just to listen to others, and just to be that shoulder for someone to cry on, how God just uses. And that's the way it is with these instruments. The creator, the people that made this Yamaha guitar, didn't make it for just to sit in a case or to sit on a shelf. They made it to share beautiful music, and depending on who's playing it, you can perceive that as beautiful or not. But those creators created that for a purpose, and that's why God created each of us, to be an instrument, not to be too cheesy, but to be, whether we are rusty, whether we're dusty, whether whatever it is, whether we're just out of shape, he wants to utilize us. He created us for that purpose, whatever that purpose may be. That's for us to get to know God so we start to see that more clearly and go where he needs us to go. And once again, I really appreciate you have to play this guitar that Kevin played so many different times, but also just to see these men and women that are allowing God to work through them. He wants to work through us. We just got to let him do that. We have to be that conduit to share that story is with those that are around us. And so many different things. Last week, not having my voice just made me appreciate so much more getting to be surrounded by this body of believers and trying not to break into tears, just playing guitar and just listening to you all lift up your voices in song, just to worship God, not so the person next to you can hear your voice, but so that God can hear your voice and so that he can see your devotion to him. And especially seeing these young women step up and just be the leaders that God's called them to be, and how, who knows where that's going to go. But it's just such a great blessing to be with you, to be with them, just to be in God's presence, not just today, but always throughout the rest of this week as God just continues to work through us. So please stand with me as we sing, I Will Follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone. Higher than my sight, high above my life, I will trust in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. Light into the world, light into my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek, knowing I will find all I need in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul.
in you there's joy, unending joy. I will follow where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures that fade, are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. And I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one. can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Better than you, there's nothing. Better than you, Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can.
Please be seated.
Going to be in Matthew 15 this morning is where we're going to be, Matthew chapter 15. Now, I want to say, when we sing that song, I don't know how you visualize the certain things that are going on in that song, the graves and the gardens, etc. There's one line about the ashes, and I have short-term memory loss, so I forgot what it said about the ashes. But this past week, Lisa and I got to go up to Hannibal Grange, and we're on the visitors board. That means we're looking for money kind of thing. But on the doorway, when you walk into the building, the front door, you walk through the old archway, and on the side there, carved in stone, is "Out of the ashes comes crown." Because back in 1989, the old admin building, the crown jewel of campus where everything was held, where the auditorium was at, and that's where we did chapel, but that's where the classrooms were at, it burnt to the ground. And it looked like things would be over. And out of that, that started a lot of building. The building that replaced it, the admin building that now has classes in it, a new library, and, you know, just a nurses building, so forth like that. All of that came. And it's amazing to see God at work taking something that looks like, as a matter of fact, the college, if you or the university, not too long ago, was told by their accountant to close the doors. And they're still standing, and they're gaining people coming to school, enrollments going up. And they're looking now, opening the dorm back up that I was in, because they have newer dorms and they didn't need it. And right now it's in storage. But they've got enough students coming back that they want to open that back up. God is doing great things, right? And that's what we want to be aware of as we stand here today. We want God to do great things at Emmanuel. We want God to do great things in Carlinbu. We want God to do great things in Boston, where we saw, and in Philadelphia, where we saw the stories. We want God is capable. Isn't it neat to watch those videos and to see those things going on? It's a long way from you, and you don't know Faith, and you don't know Mr. and Mrs. Cherry. You don't know them, and you may never, ever meet them. But they said thank you because you gave. And they said, thank you because you prayed. You get to be part of that work. So celebrate the things that God is doing and anticipate, I like the story that we're going to look at today, anticipate that God wants to do great things in and around you. And he wants you to see that he can do great things. So here we are in Matthew chapter 15. It's the story that we're going to look at. We've looked at, it's called, the series has been the Son of David. So we backed way up. We've been in this. This is the 10th in the series. And when we looked at it, we started with, David wasn't even king yet. And we set up the stage for David eventually to become king. And then we closed out with looking at David as the king. And we looked at him as the spiritual leader. That's when he brought the ark into. That's when we know that he got all the material piled up so Solomon could build the temple. But he was that spiritual leader that led the ark back so the people could worship God in Jerusalem. So he set that up. He was the spiritual leader. We read about all of the military accomplishments. It's kind of like when we read that chapter, it was one place after another. God was with David wherever he went. And David then expanded the kingdom. We saw the map, and then the map was even expanded beyond that when Solomon became king in the United Kingdom. We saw that he was a capable military leader and expanded the borders. And then we finally looked at, and we're going to look at that again at the end, but we saw David as the repentant leader. Okay, we saw David as the repentant leader. So as we roll into the New Testament, right, Jesus has been born in a manger. We know that story. Read that in Matthew and Luke, and we see that story of his birth. And then we walk through his ministry, and we know that people are looking for the Messiah. That is the Son of David. That is the Christ, okay? They're looking for. And we want to ask that question, what were they looking for? What were they looking for? I have an idea of what they were looking for. You may have an idea of what they're looking for. And honestly, sometimes it's the very same thing that we're looking for today in our leadership. Okay? So the question is, we walk through this New Testament stories that we walk through. Last week was the blind man. We asked that question, who recognized Jesus as the Son of David? Who recognized Jesus as the Son of David? What led them to that conclusion? Because there were people who walked up, saw Jesus, and they didn't address him as the Messiah. They didn't address him as the Christ. They did not address him as the Son of David. Yet there are those few who did that. They walked up to him as the Son of David. Okay? They addressed him that way. How did they come to that conclusion? What led them to see what others missed? You've done that, right? Did you see that? No, I didn't see that. Right? We've all been there, right? We've all been to that place where we're driving along or we're looking at something. Did you see that? And you're going to see what? Okay? Because we missed it. And so Jesus is healing. Jesus is doing the teachings, etc. Feeding and 5,000, walking on the water. And they don't get that this is the Son of David. This is the Messiah that they've been waiting for. And we know that they want to crucify him, and they do, because they don't see it. I'm going to ask you this question. In light of what we're going to look at, the story that we're going to look at today, in Matthew chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 22. What is the one thing you haven't given up on? What's the one thing that you haven't given up? What's your dream? Maybe a place to go, maybe a car to own, maybe you want to play drums, and you haven't given up on that yet, okay? Whatever it might be, there might be something that you have desired for, you have a passion for, and you just haven't got there, but yet you're not giving up on it. Now, I told you we went to Hannibal on Thursday. So we're in there, and we meet Wesley. Wesley is from Hawaii. He's a good new friend of mine. Okay? But anyway, here's the story of Wesley. Wesley came to Hannibal LaGrange in 69 or 70. He left Hannibal and never graduated from Hannibal. It was a two-year school back then. And he never got his degree there. He went on to be an engineer, and that's what he's doing in Hawaii. So good place to be, right? So when they got hold of one another, they found out that he had missed one Bible class. He was one Bible class short of a degree. And guess what? He hadn't given up on it. He took the online course, and now he is a proud graduate of Hannibal LaGrange University. Think about that. In 70 is when he left, 71 is when he left. And here we are in, I think it was 21 when he graduated. It's like 50 years from the time you started to the time that you finished. But he kept on. That persistence paid off. And now he has a diploma someplace that tells us that he graduated from Hannibal LaGrange. Let's pick it up here in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great, and shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Let's look at some things that are in that story. When we read this story, if you've got a tag above it, and probably says the Syrophoenician woman, okay, the Syrophoenician woman. We read it as Canaanite. A couple interesting things. This story is included in Mark chapter 7. You can go back and you can read the story there. And Mark calls her a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race. Okay, that's what we look at. Canaanite, do you recognize Canaanite? That was the people who dwelled in the land of Canaan before the Israelites came out of Egypt and they were to drive the Canaanites out. The Canaanites were the enemy of the people of Israel. They were the enemy of the people of Israel. And interestingly enough, if you go get out your Strongs or you do like I do, punch into your Logos, you hit Canaanite and you'll find that this word, Canaanite, is used only once in the entire New Testament, and Matthew uses it here to describe this woman, to set up the story. So this woman that comes and cries out to Jesus is what? She is an enemy of the Israelites. Now I find that just stumps me, right? That stumps me that the enemy recognizes when those people who should have didn't. You get that? I mean, that as I'm looking through the Son of David and I'm walking through this, that bothers me. Because I consider myself to know things, right, about the Bible, about the Scripture. And these people who knew stuff about the Scripture didn't recognize Jesus, but yet the enemy of Israel would be like the enemy of the church, wouldn't recognize things about Jesus that I would miss. That bothers me. So I want to, you know, I want, and I think you guys want to do the best at knowing what the Scripture says so we don't miss these kind of things. So the Canaanite woman comes up to him and cries out. What does she say? "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." That's what she says. That should sound familiar because guess what? That's the same phrase that the blind man used. They came up to Jesus and said, "Have mercy on me, Son of David." Son of David. So she has a recognition of who Jesus is. This Jesus is walking around the countryside that's healing and teaching and doing all sorts of miracles. This is the Son of David. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ that we're waiting for. Amazing recognition of who he is. How is our recognition? What do we think of who Jesus is? Something for us to ponder as we walk through this. Now, why does she come? She has recognition of who he is, but she comes to him because that recognition says, "I have a need and you can take care of it." The need is this: my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Cruelly demon-possessed. In other words, she's afflicted by the demon. Depends on which version you read through, how it describes it. But she's demon-possessed, as the New American puts it. There's a problem there. She is coming. What's her concern? It's a spiritual concern. Because the demon is possessive of her daughter. So that guys, this is something that when I became a new Christian, and I had been a Christian for a while. As a matter of fact, I had preached my first sermon twice, maybe. And we were on a mission trip thing that we did at the time. And then I wrestled with the idea of whether I should become a preacher or not. And the holdup was the pastor's car. Okay, it was green with plaid seats and bad hubcaps. Right? So, but anyway, I went and visited another pastor. Somebody took me to see another pastor. And he gave me a book called The 2959 Plan. And in it, it talked about prayer. And it used the word intercessory. Now, I'd never heard that word before. And it's not a word that we use very often. But what it meant was to pray on behalf of somebody else. To take our concern for their life to the one who can take care of it. It's called intercessory prayer. And so when this mother, this Canaanite, don't lose it. I was reading one of the other translations that just used Gentile. That's not strong enough. This is the enemy of the people that Jesus belongs to. She comes with this need for her daughter. Intercessory prayer is what she's doing. She's bringing that to Jesus. We need to do the same kind of thing, right? Intercessory. So she's bringing this need to Jesus. And don't you love Jesus' response? Did you catch that? He didn't answer her. She comes up screaming, "Hey, help my daughter. She's cruelly possessed, demon-possessed. Help her." And Jesus doesn't say a word. Been there, done that, haven't you? Have you ever lifted up your prayers and felt like they didn't hear, nobody heard? You know, God, are you home? And you know, it's that silence that you get greeted with. God heard your prayers. Jesus heard what she said, but he didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. To us, that's an unexpected silence. It's a strange silence. To them, the disciples that were with Jesus, that was an expected silence. You don't talk to the Canaanites. You avoid somebody who's not an Israelite. So that in the mix of this is a kind of a racial tension. And so Jesus doesn't answer. And as a matter of fact, she doesn't give up though, right? I'll ask you this later, but how many of us give up when God's silent? She didn't give up. Matter of fact, she keeps shouting. How do we know that? How do we know that she doesn't quit? She keeps on shouting because the disciples finally say to Jesus, "Hey, could you get rid of her? Could you send her away? You know, she is a..." Do you have somebody that's annoying? Don't use my name. Okay? And so she is so annoying. The disciples say, "Hey, Jesus, you need to do something about this. Send her away. Send her away. Just tell her to go away." And so, Jesus doesn't directly, I guess it's more polite, maybe not. He doesn't just say, "Go away," does he? What he says is this. Get an idea about the mission. I'll tell you this. When I read this story here or in Mark, I've always been troubled with it because it's a weird picture in my head. It's a weird picture in my head. But Jesus says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not for you at all," okay? And that's what he says. And then he follows it up with this. It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Work with me here. How have you pictured this in your head? I picture a table, a round table for whatever reason, with little kids at it with bread. And dogs beside the table. It's just in my head, that's how it looks. This is kind of why it seems like a weird passage of scripture to me as I'm walking through this. And I'm appreciative of coming back to it and seeing it in light of the Son of David. That's how I picture it. And he says it's not good to take don't take the bread that's meant for the children and give it to the dogs. It's not a good thing. You get that? Do you get what he said? The house of Israel is the children, the prized possession. The Canaanite woman is a dog. You get that? I said he was polite by not just saying go away. But when he calls her a dog, that is not polite. But that's what he says to her. He says, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But I love this woman, right? We need to be this woman. We need to be this woman because what does she do? She doesn't get offended by that. She doesn't deny that she's a dog. But what does she say? What's her response? Hey, that wasn't very nice. I can sit at the table with them. I've been created just like them by God, and she would be right. But instead, she says this. And if you got a dog, you get it. Or if you've been around a dog at a table, right? Even the dogs, me included is what she's saying, even the dogs feed on the crumbs. That's what she says to Jesus. Even the dog, you get the idea? How many of you had to have a dog around your house and around the table when you're eating? When the dog sees something that the dog wants, does the dog take no for an answer? Does the dog, no, you can't have any of this. What does a dog sit there and do? It begs, right? And does it stop? When does it stop begging? After you feed it. After you drop something on the floor. That's the only time the dog stops drooling and looking at you with those eyes and wagging that tail all over the place and looking like they've never been fed in the last 90 days, right? I mean, that's just the look that the dog has. Little or big. And that's this woman, right? She says to Jesus, even the dogs, because kids are messy, right? Even the dogs get the crumbs. All I'm asking for is a crumb, Jesus. I'm not asking for an invite to the table. I just want some of the scraps. Heal my daughter. Heal my daughter. Man. How many of you are ready to be dogs? Here's what happens. Jesus responds now to that response. And he said to her, your faith is great. Your faith is great. And what happens? You read at the bottom of that verse. The daughter was immediately healed. That spiritual bondage, the demon possession, is gone. She's no longer tormented by that demon. Healed. Your faith is great. Because why? She didn't give up. Matthew uses the word great and faith twice in the entire 28 chapters of Matthew. Faith and great are only together two times to address two people. This woman, the Canaanite woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. He says that one other time earlier in the book of Matthew as he is addressing the centurion who said, you don't need to come to my place because you can do it here. And he said, your faith is great. So two people outside of Israel, two people outside of the Jewish name of the house of Israel, those were the two who had great faith. That astounds me. As I'm reading through this passage of Scripture, as I'm trying to figure out the picture of children eating bread and a dog at the side of the table and trying to figure out how does that become the answer to the question of her looking for healing. But her faith was great. This woman never gave up. When he was silent, when he called her a dog, she just kept on coming. That is persistence. She was not taking no for an answer. So she came continually and continually and continually at Jesus in this moment. This was her one moment. He was in her territory. She now had an audience with Jesus. She wasn't going away till he responded the way that he did. And like that dog that you fed, she went away happy. Beautiful, beautiful story. What are we going to do with this, right? Because none of you raised your hands when I said, are you ready to be a dog? Okay? None of you raised your hand that way. And none of you think that you're the enemy of the church. And I would think so, not either, because you're here. Well, what are we going to do with this? What's the action step that I want you to do? Remember I asked you in the beginning, what's that one thing that you haven't given up on? What's that one thing that you haven't given up on? In this story, we see that she knows who Jesus is. She knows he's the Messiah. She calls him and addresses him like no other and calls him the Son of David. She knows that Jesus can. What's your knowledge of Jesus? Is there anything in your life that Jesus can't fix? Are you acting like it? Your knowledge, does your knowledge drive and your need? How many of you have a need? How many of you have more than one need? How many of you have friends that have needs? And it may be a need for a Savior. Does your knowledge and need drive your persistence? Because what are we good at? How many of you, when Jesus wouldn't answer, would have walked away? How many of you have given up because you haven't gotten the answer immediately that you wanted? Nothing happened in the situation. How many of you walked away and quit praying for it, quit asking for it? How many of us, when we got an answer that we didn't like, asked again? Because being called a dog is not the answer you want. But she kept asking. That's the persistence that the Scripture demonstrates for us here in this Canaanite woman. And in other places, Jesus implores us to have that persistence. What are we being persistent about? I'm kind of asking you this. I'm asking you to pull that old guitar out of the case and dust it off. That old request that you've had that you've given up on, but still exists. You know somebody that know Jesus, and nothing's happened. You prayed for him, you brought him to church, whatever happened, and nothing happened, so you're just kind of like, well, I'm going to move on to somebody else. I want you to open that prayer request box back up. And look at those things that you have dropped the ball on, you put to the side. I want you to be this woman, and I want you to be persistent with that prayer. And so as we're going to sing, I want to see that you got it back out of the box. Because we have things that we need to take, spiritual needs like this woman whose daughter was possessed by a demon. We have life, eternity-changing prayer requests that we have given up on. Let's get those back out. Let's have this persistent. Let's do that today. You can pray down here. I encourage you to pray down here because your prayer will prompt somebody else to pray. You can pray where you're at, but I'd encourage you to make your way down here to do that. If you want to, if there's something else, maybe you've seen the woman in Boston, the couple in Philadelphia, say, I think God wants me to do that someplace. Maybe in the States, maybe in Asia, wherever it might be. I want to explore the possibility of being a missionary. You come and we'll talk about it. Maybe you want to join a church. Maybe you need to follow through yourself with baptism as a believer. Then you come today. Let's stand and sing.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He, the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, He the perfect Son of Man. In His living, in His suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, in Him we stand. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death, the God of life. But no grave could e'er restrain Him. Praise the Lord, He is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes.
Just join with me in prayer and then stay put for a little bit. Father, thank You for this message. Father, thank You for Your word. Father, that we study. Thank You for the songs that we sing. Thank You for the missionaries, Lord, that we support. And Father, we continue to pray for that offering, Lord, that not only that we take up, but others take, other churches take up, that collectively together we can share Your word across North America. Father, just pray that You would go with us, help us to be a light to those around us. Father, to be persistent in our prayers as we bring them before You, to pray for the things that matter for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. So a couple things. Here's the have you reads for this week. Deuteronomy, we start Deuteronomy. We just finished up Numbers, and we're going to continue through these. Do those. Look at those. We'll talk about those on Wednesday night. That's what that prayer share is. In other words, I'm not doing all the talking, most of it, but not all of it. So I want to hear what you, I want us to be comfortable talking about God's word, just like we talk about Cardinal baseball and the weather, right? That's what that's about, is understanding that we do that. So do those things. There's a couple things that were in the newsletter that was late, my fault. But at the end of the month, Palm Sunday is the Sunday that it is, and I'm losing the date. But that's when Blake Harding, remember Blake, the tall, skinny kid? Okay, he is getting ordained over in Robinson, Illinois. And we're invited to go over. So if you want to make plans to do that, let me know, and we'll see what we can work out. I get to be part of that, so I'm excited about that, excited to hear about that. We're also going to get to ordain much closer, Kenny Miles, down at Royal Lakes. And if you go past Royal Lakes in 16, you'll see this little building. As of late, like a lot of us, it's not been very full. I would really love us to bless that little church and to show up and support this one who's getting ordained. He comes and preaches with us on Monday nights. Excited about that. A couple of the conventions in Indy, if you'd like to go, I need to know so we can make you a messenger. I'd love to make you a messenger so that if you remember that we can do that, make you a messenger so you can get a little yellow card and a bag full of stuff and so that you can make a vote. Now, the next thing I'm going to do, I want to make this mic live. Is Heather's going to come up. Where's Heather at? She's upstairs. Okay. Well, so much for my plans. So in a second, somebody want to go grab Heather. Okay. She's up. You want to go grab your mom? Yeah, your mom. Your mom. I don't know where your mom's at. So should we sing Deep and Wide? No, that's usually what we do when we stall around here, deep and wide. Let me share a little story with you. Last Sunday night, got to go over to First Baptist Church in Gillespie. Many of you may have heard this because somebody asked me about it this week. But the two churches, an Independent Baptist Church and the Southern Baptist Church, Trinity, are talking about merging together. And you know, that's not a small feat. And so they asked Nate to come and talk, and I tagged along. Made Nate uncomfortable, but that's okay. But they asked questions about, and here's basically if I could sum up the questions that they asked that night. And this is things that remind me of why I am thankful that we are a Southern Baptist church. They asked about autonomy, you know, because they do what they want, because they're an Independent Baptist church. We have autonomy. You know, and so we get to be the church that we want to be. They asked about missions. And you get to see, their missionaries have to come back home every once in a while to ask for money. Our missionaries get to stay on the field because you gave. All right, so that's kind of cool. They asked a couple other questions. All of the questions, though, I was so thankful that we are who we are, and that we are aligned the way we are. Heather, if you want to walk up here, because they're looking a little restless. And I'll let you explain why I asked you up here.
Oh, okay. Whew, I just ran. Okay.
Sorry.
2 weeks ago, I believe it was, Cliff's message was on David and Bathsheba, and at the end, he said that we should repent like a king. Because he turned to the Psalms that David wrote as right after he was called out, basically, on all of the things that he had done wrong. And so I'm like, ooh, that's really good. And it just stuck with me. So I made a shirt that says, repent like a king. And I can get you one if you want one. I'll just say that much. Cliff's like, so when you open in your store and all that, I've read one article in 2 weeks, I'll say that much, on what you need to do. I used a program called Canva, if any of you have seen that, and so you are more than welcome to go on there and look at that, but we can get it through Canva. So if anybody's interested in letting you know, I wanted to be able to do that, to wear it, just because after he said that, I'm like, you know what, we definitely need to be sitting down and talking to God more and asking him and wearing it. It's more of my reminder to ask God for help in my everyday and everything that I'm doing in every situation that I'm around, and not just in my day, not in just everything that I'm doing every day, but I want to repent and I want God to help me make things better. There we go. The end.
All right. So you can see Heather about the shirt later on, you know, as we figure it out. She stopped me in the hallway and she said, I want to make a shirt out of that. And looked at her like, out of what? And then she told me, and then she sent me she sent me a picture and a text. And I shared it with several other people because I wanted an opinion on what they thought of it. Matter of fact, when she said, we need to make a shirt out of that, I'm like, well, if it's good, because Cliff has been preaching for 40 years, and Cliff never has had anything made, okay? So, anyway, I looked it up, and it's not out there. So she sent that. I sent it to other people, and there's a list of people that already want to buy it who've seen it before you've seen it. So kind of cool, but I hope that I also a reminder to you and a reminder to others, what does that mean? Psalm 51 is one of the most impactful psalms, and so let's take it and run with it. And you guys got up an hour early to be here today. So, right? Give yourself a hand. And as far as I can tell, all of you stayed awake, okay? And it's great to have the guitar, great to hear the story about that. Let's go out and be God's people as we walk out of these doors. There's no class tonight, just so in case you thought there was, there's not a class. Randy finished up last week. And so choir practice it, and you can go home and get your nap and get that hour back. So.